Nishmini.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija, oddaja o vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo o poldne na Radiu Študent.
Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni v drogeriji. Lahko bi govorili kaj lepega o drogah, a če hočete kaj lepega izkusiti na področju drog, je to še najlažje, če se le resni in se dovolj dobro spoznate na to, kaj užijete, torej, če jih užijete. Če pa pogledamo seveda naokol po svetu, kaj se dogaja zaradi drog, ob drogah in z drogami, pa je seveda nekoliko slabšega videza. In zadnja leta je eden od krajev, ki kaže eno izmed najbolj žalostnih, grozovitih, ubijalskih slik, tista v Mehiki, odkar je Felipe Calderon, predsednik, leta 2006. razglasil vojno proti drogam oziroma proti kartelom. In takrat smo se pogovarjali z Loro Carlson iz America's programa iz Mexico Cityja in tudi o implementaciji plana Mexico, iniciativa Merida, kot je uradno znan, ki naj bi bil na las podoben planu Kolumbija, naj bi dosegel iz Sicilije, seveda temu ni tako. Kdo koga laže ali lažejo, slepijo sami sebe, torej politiki, ali pa zgolj narod, bo razvidno v okviru intervjuja, znotraj katerega bo Laura Carlson razložila, kako se v zadnjem času odvijajo zadevščine na tem področju, kakšne so nekatere od operacij Združenih držav Amerike in kako se vse to pozna v Mehiki. Še prej pa en krajši glasbeni vzdih.
Ay, ande estamos izarakia, inde huicho, izkaguchil, arinte lorokimbo. Sandas eskara, y tanto como es male rosa, ya sanberia, sanari kuakia. Matin inginitia, mater flor azul, mate dale charapis male ya chimpachati. Ay, 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 ya andizamos izarakia, inde huicho, izcaguchil, arinte lorokimbo. Sandas escara, y tanto como es male rosa, ya sanberia, sanari huakia. Mate ninginitia, mate flor azul, mate dale charapis male ya chimpachati. Ay, 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 ya andizamos izarakia, inde huicho, izcaguchil, arinte lorokimbo. Sandas escara, y tanto como es male rosa, ya sanberia, sanari cuakia. Mate ninginitia, mate flor azul, mate dale charapis male ya chimpachati. Mate dale charapis male ya chimpachati.
No, eden od politikov je nedavno izjavil, da seveda je to nevšečno, vendar 35 tisoč mrtvih pomeni, da se je nekaj doseglo v boju proti kartelom v Mehiki, a vendar seveda dejstva niso taka, mnogi izmed od teh žrtv so seveda tudi povsem nedolžni ljudje, tisti, ki se ne ukvarjajo, ne s karteli, niti ne reprezentatirajo vojske ali pa policije. In v zadnjih mesecih se je v Mehiki tudi vzbudila družba in se začela organizirati. Organizirate pohode po Mehiki. Prav danes se v Mexico City odvija drugi v zadnjih letih največji protest proti vojni proti drogam. Začel se je s pohodom iz enega meseca v bližini Mexico City, in kjer se je zgodil umor proti otroku, sinu novinarja in pesnika Javierja Sicilije. No, ti so se sprehodili vse do glavnega trga v Mexico Cityju, pridružili so se jim pa tudi za protesti v vseh večjih in glavnih mestih preostalih, oziroma od 32 držav Mehike jih danes 29 organizira takšne ali drugačne pohode proti politiki do drog, proti nasilju. In pogovarjamo se z Loro Carlson iz America's programa, iz Mexico Cityja, in kot prvo jo sprašujemo o operaciji Fast and Furious. Eni so jo pomenovali kar Obamagate. No, kakorkoli že, gre za program, ki naj bi spadal v tisto kao recipročnost, torej še Mehika mora nekaj početi na področju zatiranja, prekupčevanja z drogami, mora prav tako Amerika nekaj početi na tem področju, in v tem okviru je vodila tudi ta projekt, kaj več in kako racionalen in smiselen pa je bil, pa boste slišali v naslednjih minutah v intervjuju z Loro Carlson.
Fast and Furious program is a program run by alcohol, tobacco, and firearms of the U.S. government. And it's a huge scandal now because they were running this program out of the Phoenix, Arizona office. And what it essentially was to watch as straw purchasers, people that they knew were purchasing for gun runners, purchased large numbers of rifles and other types of high caliber arms in gun shops throughout Arizona and other places, passed them off to gun runners, and then eventually crossed the border with these arms. And the problem, of course, was that they were letting these guns cross the border, and they were eventually ending up in the hands of the drug cartels in Mexico. We know they were ending up in their hands because they've been decommissioned in many violent crimes that were committed, particularly in the border region. So essentially, the ATF was overseeing a process where guns were being allowed under the nose of the government to go into the hands of the most violent and ruthless drug cartels in Mexico. This came out because some whistleblowers who actually worked in the agency and did not agree with this strategy, which supposedly was to find out who the final buyer was in Mexico, but somehow they seemed to have lost track of the guns once they got into Mexico, came to the press and denounced the program. And then several other people confirmed that this was indeed what was happening. So it's been a huge scandal, particularly in Mexico, where people have been complaining for a long time about how the United States blames Mexico for the violence and for the drug war, while at the same time being the most major market in the world, and especially for drugs that go through Mexico, as well as being the source of the arms that arm the drug cartels.
This operation is, of course, illegal in the United States of America as well as in Mexico. But as it is seen till now, no important functionaries of the government knew about it, or so they claim.
That's right. President Obama said that he knew nothing about it, and that the Attorney General Eric Holder knew nothing about it either. There's an investigation going on now, and part of the investigation will have to come to a conclusion about how far up the chain of command there was information about what was really happening. It's clear that the Department of Justice was involved in this program, so the question is to what rank within the Department of Justice did people know what was happening. Right now, people are waiting for this investigation to come out, and I imagine and fear that the U.S. government is hoping that they'll forget that this really took place. The Mexican government under Felipe Calderón has not pressed the U.S. government hard, despite the violations of law involved in doing something like this, as well as the danger, because there were many people that were killed with these arms. And the reason they haven't pressed them is because they're very deeply invested in the drug war and in having the United States continue to support the drug war. So they are trying to keep it low profile and not to criticize the U.S. government, as both governments are facing increased criticism of the drug war strategy from their populations.
Mm-hmm. One of the more funny or better said things about this operation was that it's a part of a wider policy of gun running that is checking where they get their arms from, the drug cartels, that is. And the United States, which is doing less on its part in fighting the drug cartels, the selling of drugs on their own area, have been doing this as a reciprocal action.
Exactly. The criticism is that there really isn't reciprocity. The United States is financing a war on drugs that's leading to, well, now we're close to 40,000 violent deaths within Mexico, while at the same time continuing to permit the distribution and the purchase of illegal drugs within the United States, as well as, of course, the flow of arms from the north to the south. The gun laws in the United States are notoriously lax. There's a very strong conservative lobby that opposes even putting restrictions on assault weapons that are not used for hunting, that are basically only used to kill people, and on other types of weapons that should logically be subject to some type of regulation. So the government has hidden behind the fact that they're not able to pass through Congress laws to tighten this up, and at the same time, a lot of people are making a lot of money off the sale of guns that eventually go to Mexico and feed the violence that's happening there.
Mm-hmm. This action, as they said, was reciprocal, but nevertheless, they didn't mention anything to any of the Mexican authorities about this operation. And one of the public statements was that they didn't trust the Mexican authorities. But since we know everyone say knows this is an irrational operation, I think it would be just as possible to say that one can't trust American authorities on this subject.
That's been one of the upshots, I think, of the operation, that both sides have, there's been an erosion of trust. It's absolutely outrageous for a foreign government to permit smuggling of arms to violent illegal groups in another country and then say, and do it as a unilateral action and try to justify it and saying it was part of an intelligence operation. You can't do it probably under any conditions because it's an illegal act. There's some people who, in fact, claim that under international law, it could be interpreted as an act of war. But to do it without the knowledge or participation of anyone within the Mexican government is completely unacceptable, and many representatives of the Mexican Congress have said so and are waiting the confirmation and some more results from this investigation, although the operation itself has pretty much been proved because there are actually people within the agency who came out and revealed the details of it.
Mm-hmm. But if we move on, now it has been quite a few years since the Merida Initiative, Plan Mexico, as it is popularly known, was signed. It was to resemble Plan Colombia. Its goal was to diminish the transport of cocaine, to destroy the cartels. Now it has not succeeded in Colombia. How is it how is it in Mexico?
If we look at the timeline of the Merida Initiative, what we see is a deepening failure of this strategy. We talked about it here on this show when it was first launched. It was launched by President Bush then in the year 2007 at the end of the year in the month of October. Since then, it's been used to fortify the strategy of President Felipe Calderon, which is a model of attacking illicit drug flows through interdiction and enforcement. That is to say, instead of treating consumption and the market for illicit drugs as a problem of public health, as a problem of demand, they're attempting to block off the supply at the border, both of drugs that are produced within Mexico, which are methamphetamines, some marijuana, and some poppy for heroin, as well as, of course, the cocaine flows that are coming up primarily from Colombia. Ironically also because Colombia is another place that has had this interdiction and enforcement model imposed and yet continues to be the number one producer of cocaine for the U.S. market and indeed for the world. So since that time, there have been about 4 years that have gone by, and what we've seen is this incredible explosion of violence. That's been caused by a number of different factors. One is that by launching the army, now over 50,000 army troops are in the streets in Mexico City, supposedly fighting this war on drugs. They created turf wars between many of the cartels. There are different theories about this. Some theories are that the Mexican government is supporting one cartel over another. There are other theories that going in and taking out some of the drug lords creates a power vacuum that invites rival drug gangs to challenge the former drug cartel for that particular trafficking route or production area. But what's clear, regardless of which of these theories one subscribes to, is that the use of the army and the strategy in particular has not led to an increase in public safety, quite the contrary. It has not, according to United States official reports themselves, led to a decrease in the supply of illegal drugs on the U.S. market or a decrease in availability. It's not led to an increase in interdictions in a steady way. There's an increase in consumption of illegal drugs. In other words, practically any benchmark you were to look at, with the exception of arrests, is showing failure on the part of the strategy. And yet you see that both the U.S. governments and the Mexican governments continue to call for increasing the strategy rather than evaluating it, which has led many people to wonder if the objectives, the stated objectives of it, are really the true objectives. And there's a lot of evidence that's what's really behind this drug war is an attempt to purposely militarize Mexico in order to control both the population and access to many of the natural resources that are located here, and within the United States to have a higher degree of intervention in the Mexican national security apparatus.
Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of diminishing rights by the Mexicans since this, and especially NAFTA. Could you, that this is not the case, maybe that this is the goal to diminish the production and transference of drugs, maybe also one of those memos that was published by the WikiLeaks, where the member of the Mexican government, Guterres, says that we now have, I quote, 18 months, and if we do not produce a tangible success that is recognizable to the Mexican people, it will be difficult to sustain the confrontation into the next administration.
This was shocking for us to read, of course, because one would hope that the goal of a confrontation, of a war like this, would be to eventually end the violence. So to see that both governments weren't even talking about winning, they were talking about sustaining the war itself, heightens exactly those suspicions that I mentioned before, that there are powerful interests involved in continuing both the militarization and the constant purchases of war equipment to defense companies, to private security firms, where many of those contracts from the U.S. support are going within the United States, as well as to fortify a conservative right-wing government within Mexico that's invested virtually all of its political capital in this single issue of fighting the drug cartels. So when a cable like this comes out, it leads one to believe that there are ulterior motives behind this drug war and that that's the reason that despite the evident failures of the strategy in attaining its ostensible goals, no one is doing a reevaluation, nor listening to the hundreds of thousands of Mexicans that are calling for an end to this strategy and a look at alternative strategies. Thank you.
Poslušate drugerijo na Radiu Študent. Pogovarjamo se z Lauro Carlson o situaciji v Mehiki in zdaj nekaj o tem, kako se živi po vseh teh letih vojne proti drogam.
The violence that Mexico's experiencing is concentrated in certain areas. There are particular areas on the border where the drugs pass to the United States, as well as certain parts of the country where there's rivalries between drug gangs or between elements of the government. So it depends in many ways on where you live. For us, for example, in Mexico City, there's less violence than there would be for some real hot spots like Ciudad Juarez on the border that's now become the murder capital of the world, or the state of Michoacán. But what you can say is that something that looms in the consciousness and in many ways still form a threat to people within Mexico is the top item in the press on a daily level. The murders that take place are not only numerous, but they're also particularly brutal and dehumanizing. The biggest example we have lately on how it affects lives and how the movement against the drug war has been growing is that just recently the son of a famous poet here in Mexico City was murdered brutally, apparently by a drug gang. The poet came out strongly saying that, of course, he blamed the drug cartels themselves for this violence that's been taking place within the country, but that he also very clearly blamed the federal government, because the drug cartels have always existed within Mexico for many, many years, and there's always been a certain level of violence. But if you look at a graph of what's happening in the country, you have perhaps 2,000 murders, drug-related murders a year, until you get to the moment in which Felipe Calderon launches the drug war, and all of a sudden it goes from a level of 2,000 to 15,000 a year. So all hell is broken out, and many people are recognizing that this is a direct reaction to the drug war strategy, and that so not only is it not working, but it's actually causing the violence, and that it's completely unacceptable to ask society to pay this kind of cost for a strategy that shows no signs of working and is essentially just functioning as a means to provide political support for a weak political party.
How is this recognition and that these policies are also used for the more neoliberal agendas for Mexico recognized by the media, which has also signed the media pact, or I don't remember quite well how it was called, a few months ago, whereby they declared that they will always report in a more inclined to the government position when it comes to drugs.
The pact that was promoted by the federal government and signed by many of the major media in Mexico is an embarrassment to the country. We're talking about a country that's already been recognized as one of the places in the world where freedom of press is most threatened, not just by drug cartels, but by other factors as well. And historically, it's been a case that freedom of the press has been questionable within Mexico. In that context, to ask the press to essentially self-censor itself in order to support a failing war on drugs is completely unacceptable. What they were supposedly trying to do is to say, when the press echoes many of these messages of the drug cartels, because many of the murders are a way of calling attention and sending a direct and very brutal and graphic message to the rival cartels, that it's actually doing a favor to the cartels. But more than that, what they're asking with this self-censorship pact is that President Calderon has realized that his drug war is getting a very bad image, that people no longer believe in it. The polls are showing that the majority of Mexicans now no longer believe in the drug war approach, and that part of it is due to the fact that by reporting on the number of murders that are happening and how they're happening throughout the country, people are reaching a saturation point and saying this is not a situation that we can allow to continue. So for the media to agree to take that political task of trying to give the drug war a better image, when what really has to happen is that there has to be a change in the security strategy within the country, is a real violation of any kind of journalistic ethics.
And I remember that narco corridos were prohibited by many stations as well a year or two ago. Are they still to be heard on radio or not?
You can still hear them in many different places. It's just become a part of the culture. And the way that the narco trafficking has permeated the culture and created cultures of violence within many places is another of the major problems that we're facing. And this goes back to what you mentioned about how the neoliberal model is very related also to the crisis in security that Mexico is facing right now. If you look at places, particularly along the border, the drug gangs are offering a salary, a cell phone, maybe a used car to adolescents to recruit them. And they could even become hitmen at the age of 14 or 15 to do the dirty work for the drug gangs. And many of them will accept this because they simply don't have any other options, and they've kind of given up hope, not only of having a future, but in many ways of belonging to a meaningful society, because it's been so many years in which unemployment is so high that they have very few prospects of a job. The education system's been punished by austerity measures imposed by the IMF and by this model of economic development, so they have very few prospects of schooling. And it's changed the way they think about their own lives and what they look for, to the point where many people are thinking it's better to die young and rich than old and poor. And are easily recruited into the drug cartels. This can also be seen in areas where farmers, whose basic food crops no longer receive a living wage after all the effort that goes into production, are fairly easily persuaded to switch to drug crops because the government's providing no support for the small farmers, and it turns out that some of the drug cartels are providing credit or are providing inputs. Of course, none of this is justify it. It's just to say that there are some deep-rooted social problems that have to do with the economic model, and turning to really look at some of those problems that are at the root of it would have to be part of the solution. But instead, we've got this militarized, repressive approach to a drug war that's completely ignoring where that violence is coming from.
After all this violence, there is, of course, an upsurgence of social movements. How is it and how successful are they in Mexico in regaining respect and a proper living for their people?
This has been relatively recent. When the drug war first started, it was in the context of the electoral fraud of 2006. It's important to realize that President Felipe Calderon came to office with a half a percentage point of advantage, something I think we may have mentioned before, and that one of the reasons he launched this war was because it created sort of an external enemy that would distract people from the protests that were taking place against electoral fraud, a fraud that has never been cleared up. And in fact, that to this day, there's quite a bit of evidence that there was hanky-panky, that there was a dirty handling of that electoral process. So this has been an important factor in it, and the social movements for a long time were very discouraged by the way that the system was able to impose a president, and there wasn't a lot of movement within social movements. Then it's just been in the last couple months or so that we've seen this movement begin to take place, calling for a change in the security strategy. And it's having the effect of catalyzing some of those labor and peasant farmer and other movements that had been somewhat dormant beforehand. So it's a process that everybody's watching very closely now. And especially with the More Americas program have been watching closely. And a major date will be actually starting tomorrow and culminating in a huge march in Mexico City on May 8th, on Sunday. This will be probably the biggest march to date that we've seen that's calling on President Felipe Calderon to change the drug war strategy and protesting the way that he's taken the country from fraud in 2006 to a crisis of violence in 2011.
Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, poslušali smo intervju z Loro Carlson iz Mexico Citya. Ta pa nam je povedala, kakšen detalj iz vojne proti drogam, ki se odvija v tej srednji ameriški državi, in pa o tej obliki militarizacije, ki skladno z drugimi spostavlja vzdrževalni sistem za nasilniški ekonomski model. Toliko za danes, z vami sem bil Matej, tehnik Gašper. Lepo pozdravljeni in na slišanje čez dva tedna.
Nišmini.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija, oddaja o vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.